Blog Talk Radio. All right.
Shalom and good morning, Israel. It is your brother. Hopefully I'm your brother. Mashallah. I wanted to teach here with the ISBHPK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. I'd like to thank you all for joining us this morning for another exciting, hopefully, information-filled episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. The purpose of our show is that we're going to let the Bible do the talking. That's the plan, anyway, is that we're really going to begin some of these scriptures as we go over some, as I taught in today's class, Thursday Thoughts. Okay, so what I do need at this particular time, I need just a few more minutes, just get things prepared. For those of you who might know that last night I was in Houston yesterday for class where we were starting to go over understanding Purim as we did the YouTube class last night, and I was having to take the bus, the Greyhound bus. From San Antonio to Houston and bring the bus back from Houston to San Antonio. And I actually didn't get in until 6 this morning. But I want to stay true to the game and broadcast this show. I just need a few more minutes. So the show has definitely started. We definitely got things going on. But I need to go ahead and I just need a few more minutes. So I'm going to play a little bit more music. As I'm playing the music one more time, I'm just going to ask everybody, please reach out, send a text out, and let everybody know that the show has definitely started, okay? Let them know that today's show has definitely started. But I do need just a few more minutes to get some last-minute things together. So I am going to play a little bit more music. It's going to be the brother Daniel Allah. Find a way that I can download some of the music from Facebook that can upload it to my computer so I can go ahead and put it into the Blog Talk music library so I can have more variety of music. I do apologize for this right here, but YouTube is stopping letting you download for free music as far as actually download this the audio file. They stopped that, with the it was an invasion of intellectual rights or what have you, to where people were no longer having to buy music. They were able to just download it for free, in spite of things like, especially with things like Spotify. What's the other one I use? From iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, Pandora, what have you, that the artists were not getting paid as people, especially could just go on YouTube, download it, and it'd be all good. So I haven't been able to find a way to download music from, besides just buying it. I don't have the money for that. So long story short, I'm going to play a little music, and we'll get back. We're going to get started with the show. And today's show, we're going to continue a little bit more. Go into a little bit more detail about the body of Israel. Okay, but I'll definitely go into that a little bit more. As we're coming into the season of Purim, I want to touch on a few more things that we did touch on last night in the class and bring us more things as well. Okay, without ruining next week's show, next Wednesday, that's going to be held again in Houston. All right, so brothers and sisters, thank you for tuning in. The show's definitely started. I'll play a little bit of music as I finish the last minute details, and then we want to get started. All right? So here we go.
Hey, Shalom, King. What's good? Lucky you. You're about to get off. I got to stay. They got me working. I know. Yeah, we're supposed to go to ISUPK's cookout tomorrow after the Sabbath, man, but I gotta work. I tell you what, man, I'm on the other side. Come over here real quick, let me holler at you and let you know what's going on. Alright, peace. man. They got me slaving again, man. You know what I'm saying? Lockdown. What's good for the week? What we doing, man? What we doing tomorrow?
I got to work tomorrow. Tomorrow's my day off. Supposed to be going to the ISPK cookout after the Passover, but they called me in to come to work last minute, man. I'm so sick and tired of these damn chains, man. The job is like an albatross around my neck.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. Tell me about it, King. So what we going to do, man? We gonna fall off? We got to come up with a plan or something.
Man, listen, man. This is like prison. I'm about to escape.
I'm gonna use my tape to get the hell out of the job tomorrow. I'll see you there.
All right. Hey, look, man.
That's what we're gonna
do, man. We out, right?
You feel in a way that you're not really acting up there?
No, I'm not acting at all. I'm real. I may have a little music in the background, but everything that I do, I look at as being real.
You know, I first came here some 400 long years ago.
Yeah.
I came as a first-class passenger.
Yeah.
On a cold, nasty, muddy, wet prison of death.
Yeah.
A slave ship.
Yeah.
Place to blame from where the hatred came. It won't erase the pain, it'll only stagnate the change. Now, I ain't saying Whitey ain't gonna pay for his crimes committed by the man designed the wicked to be wicked with divine intervention. But let's deal with the facts on how we ended up in them chains. Breaking God's laws, thrown on ships in deplorable conditions. What a horrible vision to have the vision. A slave then, a slave now, instead of ships that got us packed in prison. All from ratchet living, self-hatred, lack of knowledge. Knowledge you won't find from master's degrees and master's college. Master don't love you, master don't love his own, unless it's 33rd and a third degree of the sullen bones. And you just a nigga with some pale hue. Twice a loser, your heaven, but catching hell too. The hell with you is God's chosen over everything. Give us life, Hebrew Israelites, together let us sing.
Handshakes and policy. Y'all follow me? It's all idolatry in this land where we're swearing the pledge of allegiance and everything is beautiful except for our features. Blacks and Puerto Ricans got conquered by the heathens and sold to the Grecians. Paul wrote to the Ephesians aforetime. It's wartime. That's the reality. It's time to get back to that ruling class mentality. And my mentality is scripture orientated. I'm destined to keep the laws. That's why I was created. It'll lengthen your lifespan. Avoid any chips that's implanted in right hand. I never trusted this bastard. He did away with chains and enslaved us to mass debt. I pray your Howard shall deliver me, cause all I see, all my people, is pure misery.
Children of Israel, that slavery would come. My behavior gave us these crumbs off the master's table.
What?
We was fed the abomination of the swine. Poison the mind, weaken the body, living a savage life, posting with guns on social media. Sisters with new pics, can't tell if it's a dude or chick. Confused with this type of madness, polluted with the rites of passage of the Europeans, stripped of by God, customs, and culture. Wherever a dead body lie, you're bound to see a vulture feasting on the carcass. These last days, they be the darkest for the chosen seed.
What?
Sipping lean and smoking weed. Banging and dope slanging, still on them ropes hanging. Dear Lord, I don't see no progression. Or no reason for mercy or you to show some blessing. The youth today, they don't take no correction. Our mother's full of pain, cause our sons, they still locked up in them.
Gotta break away from these chains. Gotta get out of these chains. These chains of pain.
All right. For the second time today, again, thank you everybody for letting me go ahead and play the second song. As I was finishing some of the last minute details, and getting today's show started, that we did have the two music intros, and like I said, just having to get some of my thoughts together. Thank you. Let me give a shout out to the brothers and sisters in Houston that allowed me to come in and teach class last night on YouTube. The Wildcat brothers, sisters, for the opportunity. It really is a joy to be able to go somewhere and be appreciated for the teaching. Be appreciated for what the Most High has invested in me. To be able to give it to people who really do appreciate it, to people that really do absorb it and receive it. It's definitely a joy. Personally, the water. If I could, I would pay if I could to be able to do that service, to be able to reach Israel, and is received. The water. I can't say any better. And also, to reestablish, to work on reestablishing the bond that was once built up real strong with the San Antonio camp and the Houston camp, of really getting that unity back, of really getting that connection back, that there was a time, especially with Houston, that if they needed help or we needed help, it'd be no problem to dispatch families, dispatch brothers to be there, or they came here. If it was brothers or sisters that needed to get away from a situation that might be going on there in Houston and be able to come to San Antonio, not wanting to go out to the world or whatever, but just to be able to come and get some great counsel, get that connection, get that a different perspective. That was something that we was really building, that was really being, really was being built. If it was the fairs, you know, to be able to send brothers to a fair, if it was in Phoenix, to go help them out, or you know, they came out to the fair in Albuquerque one year and helped us out, working the malls with us for the business that we had established called Eastern Oils, that to have brothers go and work the mall there in Houston, or some of those brothers come to working the mall in Albuquerque, working the mall in San Antonio, that there really was a connection. There really was a bond that was being established. That was it was good. It was really building. If it was with the Houston camp, you know, as they went to Baton Rouge when to teach in Baton Rouge to be able to, you know, we had such a bond going and unity going to be able to send brothers to go to Baton Rouge and let's go teach. Or they reached out to Dallas and the class going in Dallas every weekend. And then as they also went to Trinidad, and we were just getting to the point where we was start going with them to Trinidad to teach in Trinidad. The different summits that we attended together, whether it was in the one that we eventually had here in San Antonio, it was one in Los Angeles, there was one in Fort Lauderdale, several in Fort Lauderdale, that we was able to attend these things together, you know, as a body, as a unit, as a family. It was really a great thing. And some of those things were starting to fade, if you will, not out of any beef or out of any ill will or anything, just we just started having separation. But to be able to go back last night and not miss a beat, to be able to go back last night and not miss a beat, it really was something wonderful. And to see the growth, to see some of the growth that's taking place in Houston. Kids everywhere. That was a beautiful thing to see, you know, children everywhere. One second, y'all. Get some text feedback. It really was a beautiful thing. And hopefully the seeds and the roots that have been planted between the two camps can be rewatered and can go back strong again, and we can get back on doing and be the example that we started off for years, for decades, to of growing, of seeing growth, understanding growth. And one of the things that stood out from some of the brothers and sisters in Houston was talking about even the for this past Hanukkah, for the fans that made the trip to Houston, for the family that we had for Hanukkah. They were just talking about, you know, seeing all the kids and seeing all the families that did come. And it was inspiring to them to see that form of unity, to see that much unity and togetherness, and traveling all the way from San Antonio, going out there to them. It really inspired them also. It really touched them to see such a beautiful thing. So we want to keep these things going, Israel. You know, one thing I've been going over for past several weeks was the thing about camp banging, if you will. And I was going over scripture and stuff about how Christ had really had to correct kind of sharply the mentality that the disciples had about who's going to be the best, who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be the HNIC, basically. You know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but it was that even the disciples had this dispute among themselves, and it got kind of severe. And the reply that Christ had to them was, well, if y'all can't even come in like a little child, you don't even see the kingdom, let alone who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And his remark again to them was, if you want to be first, you got to be the first one to serve. That if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, then you got to be the first one to want to serve. And then we was going over scriptures and showing that even during the time of Moses, when we came out of Egypt, and the work was so heavy and work was so great, one man dealing with well over 6 million people, as some numbers put it, that the Most High had to take of the spirit of Moses and put that on others to help disperse and help out with this work of dealing with all the whole nation of Israel. Being able to find those faithful men that are going to be captains of hundreds, captains of thousands, and captains of 10,000. Men that we're going to be faithful, men that are going to be dependable. And even though it doesn't really go into that part, to understand also with these men being faithful and dependable, their wives being faithful and dependable, and understanding the job and the responsibilities that men were set up for in helping with this work of dealing with the whole nation and not just being caught up into just what one particular household is going through, making the focus that it's just about our house, this house, and it's all we're dealing with. And if there's anything left for anybody else, cool, then we might deal with it. That wasn't the mentality of what made somebody great in Israel. It was, as the brother Tazza Powell was going over on Tuesday, that the leaders that the Most High was looking for were those that cared about the people. The king, the elders, the leaders that made them great, as we go through the scriptures, is that they put Israel first before their own families. They as the golden rule, the golden commandments tell us, the two scriptures, the two laws that all the law hangs on is to love the Most High with all your heart and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. As Paul came back and gave us understanding on that very same thing, he came back and said, if there's going to be any consolation, any bowels of mercies, any type of recompense, then we got to take on the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ being what? Esteem others better than yourself. Put yourself last. Put others first and put yourself last. That is the type of person the Most High Christ went next to them. That's the person who, like Christ came back and even told us about, those that exalt themselves. Y'all was putting yourself first. Y'all was looking out for you. Y'all was making sure you get some out the deal. You exalt yourself. Well, Christ said, that's the one that's going to be abased. That's the one that the Most High and Christ don't want around them. Because if anybody has someone to be able to, should have the right to boast. If anybody should have the right to exalt their status or their the works they've done, it would be the Most High and Yahweh Shai. But we know that Yahweh Shai came down, being Yahweh Shai being the total embodiment of the word of the Most High. Meaning, again, when we go over like John 3:16. And it talks about Christ being the only begotten of the Most High. Remember, the Most High's word became flesh. We get that from John, the first chapter. That word that became flesh, that was the spirit that we know as Jesus Christ. And it was through Christ that everything was created. Every angel that was created, it was created by Christ under the commands of the Most High, under the orders of the Most High. But it was Christ who actually made every single angel, all the millions of billions of angels there are, Christ made them. It was angels, principalities, powers, dominions, it was anything, visible and invisible, Christ made it. Under the orders and the direct orders of the Most High. So to have that ranking of status in the kingdom of heaven, to be the number two in charge of all heaven, to humble himself and to be put into a human body, to be born and go through the stages of growing up, from the infant to the toddler to the young man, to the youth, to the young man, to the man. He went through all that. He humbled himself. He took on the form of a servant. He even came down to the point where he washed the disciples' feet. And they said, Lord, you're the Lord of us. How is it you wash our feet? We should wash our feet. He said, it's true, you call me Lord. And you're right by that, because I truly am. But if you don't do what I do, as I do, I'm not dealing with you. You're none of mine. Yeah, if you can't humble yourself to do as you see me do, I physically can't have to come on earth in a human body, not as a demigod, not as a titan, not part human, part angel, and that when the things were uncomfortable for me, I was able to use my power so that, you know, when it came to sleeping on, Christ had to sleep on dirt floors. He didn't use his ability to hover just above the ground because he's not going to let a roach touch him. Because he wasn't going to let ants get next to him. That he wasn't going to be stung by no mosquitoes or bit by no mosquitoes. He came down in human flesh and literally went through what we go through. Experienced what we experienced. And did the whole thing without sin. But being faced with hunger. What is hunger? When a person is so desperate that they'll eat anything, particularly pig, shrimp, crab, lobster, and going with the dietary law. How's the sensation of hunger? He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So in doing so, should know how desperate the mind can get to just want to eat. As a lot of people want to make excuses about being foodies, food addicts, and I just can't control myself. Well, guess who went through the exact same thing you're going through? Yahweh Shai did. And he showed us how to overcome this food addiction. Of being just so hungry, I'm going to eat anything. He went through it to give us that example. He understood that we had to see the example. And you can understand how upset the Most High Christ can get, that for Christ to go through what he went through, humiliating himself, of voluntarily humiliating himself, to go through it, to give us the example of what to follow. And then we come now in the year 2020, and it's still about us finding our own way and being in control. It's still about me forcing others to my dominance, forcing others to my comfort level. And I've really had this mentality that Christ the Most High on my side. That, well, if you understood how I grew up, and if you understood what I've been through, you will understand that it's just not as easy as just doing what you say do. It's not just as easy as, you know what, maybe I'm not meant to be an Israelite. Because I'm not perfect. And since you can't seem to accept me for my flaws and accept me for my failures, that, you know what, maybe you need to go be with somebody else, choose somebody else, go just make yourself happy, because obviously I'm not the one, because I'm just not meant to be an Israelite. Really, so again, Christ going through all that he went through and humbling himself to suffer and feel everything that we feel, so that we can have the example, the roadmap, the path to follow. We won't even study the Bible now. But we can study any and everybody else. But to just sit our eyes down and just study the Bible and bring our own thoughts to the obedience of Christ is just utterly just impossible. And then we figure we can run our mouths and explain away why it's okay or justified that I don't have to follow the scriptures, but I can follow just what I feel is right because of how I grew up and what I've been through. And the most ultimate disrespect of the sacrifices and the humility and the contriteness that the Most High, and that, excuse me, that Yahweh Shai had to use himself. The scriptures tells us that Christ did not take on the nature of angels. So he was subject to having to deal with an overbearing mom. He was subject to having to deal with a father, his dad, Joseph, who was, where the hell you been for these things? You know, we came to Passover, and we was on our way back to Nazareth, and you weren't here. Where the hell were you? Christ had to deal with these type of things. But Christ replied at 12, was what? Woman, don't you know I must be about my father's business? The pressures of the family who cared about him, obviously. The pressures of the family. It's just my family. And we have such a strong connection. And we've been through so much together. We're talking about the same Christ at 12 years old who, remember when he was born, his family, his mother and father, Joseph and Mary, had to go to Egypt to hide because Herod wanted to kill Christ then. They've been through traumas. They've been through things together. So Christ at 12 years old, I said, woman, why are you looking for me? You know I'm supposed to be about my father's business. You're putting this emotional demand, this emotional restraint. This emotional straitjacket on me about how that you being my mom and all the things you've been through, and I carried you in my belly for 9 months, and I did this and did that, and how could you put this worry on me? How could you make me worry like this? Don't you know I love you? Don't you know I care about you? Yahweh Shai went through these type of invasions. He went through these type of scenarios and situations. And he did this at the age of 12. Knowing that this is about the Most High. So that now he can come back and tell us, and he says things like, he that loveth father, mother, sister, brother, children, yet his own life also, more than me, is not worthy of me. Why would he say you're not worthy of him? Because look at what he went through. But we want to sit with this real religious, still white man painting of religion about Jesus Christ, that he floated from heaven, and then an angel, I guess it was a thunderbolt, that struck Mary. She got pregnant that way, and then Christ just came out. It wasn't no contractions. It wasn't no Braxton Hicks. He just came out and laid in the manger, and then just fast forwarded like the movie Click with Adam Sandler, just clicked to the age of 12, and then just clicked to the age of 30, and didn't have to go through any of the day-to-day ups and downs, the day-to-day highs and lows that we have to experience, that he was just divine the whole time. That he never knew what it meant, what it was like to have to thirst, because he was Christ. So he was thirsty. He would just make water come out of a rock. He just you know, because he had that power like that. That he was hungry, he'd zip up to heaven real quick, eat some angels' food, freeze time, and then jump back down and resume again. It's almost like the way we want to paint our side and not really appreciate what Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Mary and Joseph, what he went through to be able to come down. And I'm not taking away from any of his divinity. I'm actually adding to his divinity. That for him to have been the number two man in heaven, but to be able to come down and have to be subject to everything we're subject to, from hunger, thirst, and the pull of the family, to where he was teaching, to where I can only imagine how intense his family, talking about his mom, brothers, and sisters, was trying to get his attention while he was teaching, that everybody had to say, how outside, but hey, your mom, your brothers and sisters, they're outside, they want to talk to you. How much was his mother trying to impose her will, again, trying to impose her dominance on Yahweh Shai now, and he's teaching the body. He's at the age of 30 now. Grown man that obviously left the house, but is still being imposed upon by his mother about why he's not being sensitive to her needs and cares. And did you hear me calling? Didn't you hear me calling you? And again, Yahweh Shai's response or answer in the scenario and situation was what? Who's my family? Those that hear the word of the Most High and do it. The same as my mother, my sister, my brother. So Christ also went through the temptations of being imposed upon by this matrimonial, this motherly imposing, you better stop what it is you're doing, and because your mom is saying so, you better do what she says. Even though you're actually teaching the Bible right now, you're teaching Israel. We don't know how many monks of the people there were, but the implication being, because it's your mother, he better stop teaching to cater to her issue. Christ went through the same thing. And fair enough, on the cross, when she was at his feet, he was bleeding. Didn't Yahweh Shai even take care of his mother? After he finished all the work of the Most High, did he not appoint John the Revelator? He said, he told John, behold thy mother. And he told his mother, behold thy son. Be there for one another. You got her, he got you. Just because she wasn't put first. He still took care of things. He still made sure she was covered. Even though she wasn't first. So Yahweh Shai went through many scenarios that we go through, but we refuse to study. We refuse to get into the scriptures. We refuse to take on the mind of Christ. And just be stuck with the emotions. Just be stuck with the feelings and sensations. But we really don't take a look at what Yahweh Shai went through. That when he did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That Christ came down to leave. What's that? 1 Peter 2:19, that Christ came down to give us an example to follow his steps. Christ came down and gave us the way of how we're supposed to do this. But we refuse to follow that. We still get caught into our emotions. We still get caught into whatever we are into. And if we expect Yahweh Shai to be on our side, we really feel so justified, and we really feel that if I can just explain my side of things, you'll see that you are wrong for not catering to me first. You'll see that you are wrong for not putting my feelings first. You'll see that you are wrong for not listening to me. But we have all these scriptures. We've got all these scriptures of what is right in the eyes of the Most High, what is right in the eyes of Yahweh Shai. But there won't be any time meditating on how Christ did things. The meditation of most Israelites is how you made me feel. That'd be the meditation, how you made me feel. We see where Yahweh Shai and putting his family second. And again, this is something I spoke about this before over the years. For Yahweh Shai, for his family to come to him, and he was teaching. And he said, Christ, your family's outside looking for you. Your mom, your sister, your brothers are looking for you. One thing I've meditated on in that, why didn't they mention his father at the time? And again, I've been over this for those who might have been in any of my classes or listening to me through blog talk. You know, I've brought this type of scenario out many times. Were they pressing on Christ so hard? And it was so important that they seen him. But they didn't mention his father. Is that because his father had just died? And with Yahweh Shai being the oldest and the family responsibilities that he would have been obligated to, is this why they mentioned his mom, his brothers and his sisters, seeking him? They didn't mention the father. Is the fact that they didn't mention his father, is that because the father just died? And again, I think about that because when there's another disciple that came to Christ, said, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. Let me go first bury my father, which is in heaven. Or let me go first bury my father. But Yahweh Shai's reply to him was what? Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom Go teach. Like I've been putting all this into you. Go teach. Now, again, how could Christ put somebody through something he didn't already go through. That would have made him a hypocrite. And Christ came down in human flesh, in the body, to give us the example to follow him, how to deal and cope with the hardness, how to deal and cope with the pull of different events and scenarios that people are faced with. What did he do? Was he able to tell this man, let the dead bury their dead, but go out and preach the kingdom of the Most High? Because that's the same thing Christ did. For another disciple, and every I'm kind of quoting is going back, is back and forth between Mark chapter 10, Matthew chapter 12, and Luke chapter 9. There was another scenario where Yahushua, in Luke the 9th chapter, a disciple said, "Christ, I'll follow you. I'll go teach, but first I'm going to tell my family at home. Let me go bid them farewell. Let me get them prepared and let them know that I got to go. I don't want them worried about me. I don't want them, you know, up late night thinking about what might happen to me, whatever. Let me at least have the what people would call common decency to go and tell my family I'm leaving. Tell my family I'm gone." And even the fact that that would be called common decency. You're speaking to Yahushua, who at the age of 12 was with his family getting back to Nazareth, was in the temple asking questions and making statements. At the age of 12. That there were things he had to do, again, and giving the example of what's proper to follow. So Yahushua would tell this man, no man having put his hand to the plow and look it back, it's fit for the kingdom. Are we supposed to believe that Christ was a hypocrite? And Christ, when it came to the common decency, he went ahead and catered to the common decency when they told this man he couldn't cater to the common decency? Is that what we're saying? It's the common decency? So Christ wasn't commonly decent? So Christ wasn't doing the right thing. See, Yahushua didn't do the decent thing. So again, for Yahushua, the life of Yahushua, and things that he went through, things that he suffered, things like that, and giving us an example of how to overcome our flesh, of how to overcome our thoughts, how to overcome emotions. And then we disrespect him. So I'm just supposed to have no emotions then, huh? So I'm just supposed to be just a cold robot, huh? And again, a person will make this type of statement. Obviously, you ain't studying. Didn't Christ already tell us that? Didn't the scriptures tell us that you already had a heart of stone? How many times does the scriptures talk about Israel having stony hearts? But that Christ is trying to give us, the Most High, his intention is to give us a heart of flesh. But because it doesn't cater to your feelings, because it doesn't cater to how you feel at a particular time, others are accused of having stony hearts, but you're the only one who has a heart of flesh? Can't you see my pain? Can't you relate to what I'm going through? Why are you so cold? Why is the definition of coldness when it doesn't cater to your feelings?
How come you can't be looked at as having a cold heart when it comes to you pushing you first and not what the Most High wants, not what the Most High wants for the whole body of Israel? Why, when it's for the whole body of Israel and it's not just centered on you, why is the rest of the world, why is a person able to justify an excuse? The rest of the world is cold. I guess with the rest of the world being so cold, you're the only one with the heart, with the fleshly heart. You're the only one that has feelings. And that's not a selfish thought. That's not selfish. Now you get to say, well, I'm going to be cool to everybody else. I'm just going to cut off my feelings. I don't know how to just cut my feelings off. That's what, you know, my friends, my mom, my dad, they always say that about me. My heart's too big. You can have a big heart, but is your heart big and stony, or is your heart big and of flesh? So Christ was just a robot? See, he had no feelings. He just took on his angelic body and just, like Robocop back in the day, just cut off the emotions. He was just a clone. Is that what you're saying? So you keep making the statements that no one else cares, and that you're going to be like everybody else, and you're going to just get a heart of stone, a heart of ice. Because your mama always told you that your problem is you love too hard. So you love too hard, but your house side doesn't. You love too hard, and your house side doesn't. That he gave his life the way he did. Christ said, "No greater love than this." Christ said, "No greater love than this than a man laid down his life for his friends." All right, cool. I just got a text, and I responded to the text. So again, so you love too hard, really. But let me get that scripture since I didn't quote it. Since I didn't pull it up, you love too hard. Okay. You know, the scripture does say this right here. St. John chapter 15, verse 13. All right, we're going to go to the book of St. John, chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to start at verse 11. I'm going to start at verse 10. St. John chapter 15, verse 10. All right, I'm in the book of St. John. Chapter 15, verse 10. And it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now, I know a lot of people, in using the world standards, they will take this and apply that to other people. That if you love me, you'll make sure you bring me what I like. If you love me, then you'll do good by me. But thank the Most High. We're reading the words of Christ in the Bible. St. John, chapter 15, verse 10. Words of Christ in red. So these are Christ's words. So Yahweh Shai, Christ, HaMashiach, the Messiah, says what? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So Yahweh Shai, Christ, HaMashiach, the Messiah, is saying what? If we keep his commandments, then we will abide in his love. So if we don't keep his commandments, then we're not going to abide in his love. I'm reading on in St. John 15:10. Even
as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided his love. So Yahweh Shai is saying, look, in the same way I have to keep my Father's commandments to abide in my Father's love, you got to keep my commandments to abide in my love. This is Yahweh Shai speaking. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Forgive me, yes. I'm here at the apartment. And Yahweh Shai says, in verse 11, St. John chapter 15, verse 11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. If we're trying to fulfill, make Christ happy and have Christ's joy, then do what he says. But we see that for a lot of Israelites, they have no joy. Because it's not about making sure Christ feels good. It's this thing about, do I feel good? Because am I being catered to? Are my feelings being put first? Is my thoughts being put first? And if it's not first, I don't want to be here. If it's not first, I have no joy. But how Shai said it first. You know how Israelites want to get into that about who said it first? Now, I guess the one who said it first is supposed to be more justified because they said it first. Well, Christ said this first over 2,000 years ago. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If it's really in our minds, and this is where it says, remember in Daniel, it said that in the last days, many are going to wake up. But he also says, but the wicked are going to do wickedly, and the righteous are going to do righteously. That even though they get woke up, they're going to still continue in their own mindset. Yahweh Shai is telling us here what? Again, St. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. We want our joy to be full without having to do what Christ said. We want our joy to be full without having to obey and submit. We're at a point where our joy is full when everything we want is catered to first. And if it's not catered to first, I've got to esteem others better than myself. I got to follow Christ. I have no joy. I don't want to do this no more. I'm not meant to be Israelite then. Because I'm not happy doing this. It's believed St. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Did Yahweh Shai come down from heaven, be a sacred command to heaven, to give us an example of how to overcome your thoughts, your flesh, your addictions? Yeah. To give you the example of what to follow. That's how he showed his love. Christ showed his love by being uncomfortable.
Christ showed his love by being inconvenienced. But I don't mean it was such a mentality, but because he's able to give orders, that's why he was happy. And I'll be happy if I give you orders. Why wouldn't Christ? I can see why, you know, when you hear people say things like, I can see why you like the truth, because you get everything. I can see why you like the truth, because you get everything. Everybody got to obey you. Because we're keeping the order that Christ gave. That's what's got you so upset and hysterical. Because you got to follow the scriptures. And you, in following Christ, have to put others first, and that is irking you to the last end. You're not first. But again, like the example we just gave, at the end, did Christ make sure even Mary was taken care of? Did he not tell? And I'm going to find that scripture. I'm going to finish reading this here first. St. John chapter 15, verse 12. It says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. St. John chapter 15, verse 13. Are we loving each other the way Christ loved you? Did Christ inconvenience himself? Then now you can inconvenience yourself. Did Christ put his comfort and his status down to do you service? Then why can't you do that to others? St. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So for those that have this thing that I love too hard, that's my problem. I love too hard. So in St. John chapter 15, verse 13, Christ is lying because you love too hard. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Then Christ goes on to say what? In verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. This is Yahushua speaking. But you know the mentality that a lot of people have today, what they'll take? Well, if we're friends, then I should tell you what to do, but you tell me what to do. Since we're friends. Then my mama told me there'll be nobody's fool. That's what my mama told me. My mama told me this. How is it fair, Yahushua, that you get to say what the friends is based on? Shouldn't I be able to say, if you tell me what to do, then it's only right that's we'll tell you what to do. Jesus. But Yahushua, again, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. For those of us that love too hard. So again, so the scriptures, when the scriptures talks about that Israel, we've been had stony hearts. And the Most High has been trying to take away our stony hearts to get a heart of flesh. The Most High and Christ are wrong for that because they don't see how you love too hard. Christ and Most High got that part wrong. because you love too hard. And everybody else just doesn't see how much love you have, and they always just take advantage of your love. Always take advantage of your heart. And the sad thing is, people believe that to the last cell in their body. I got to keep reading. It says, 15, St. John chapter 15, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. I'm telling you what it takes to please the Most High. It doesn't cater to your feelings. It doesn't cater to your emotions. But Christ is saying, look, the fact I'm telling you what it takes to please the Most High, I'm being your friend. But again, we don't even want to follow the example what Christ gave. We don't want to follow the life that Christ is bringing to us. It's all about my emotions and how I feel, and you don't cater to my emotions and how I feel. So again, how disrespectful is it for us that Christ is telling us a secret that's been here for ages and generations, a secret your parents never knew, your grandparents never knew, your great-grandparents never knew, your great-great-grandparents never knew how to please the Most High? What is it that we need to do to please the Most High? That the Most High before you, who could be against you? You know all them songs people learn in church? But I guess they just wanted to be heard, didn't pay attention to the song, just wanted to be heard. How shall I, St. John chapter 15, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father, I make known unto you. I'm telling you what it takes to please the Most High. But many of us don't consider that friendship because we're still using verse 6. Ye have not chosen me. How many times do we as Israelites take on that statement on? If I know it's going to be like this, I never would have came in this here. If I know it's going to be like this, I never would have joined up with this thing. As if you're making a brand new statement. St. John chapter 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me. Because I guess, you remember, you love too hard, I guess. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And again, we've been over that so many times. Just because you say Jesus' name doesn't mean you're at the end of your prayer, doesn't mean you're doing it in the name of Jesus. Remember, if you're doing something in the name of somebody, you're doing it in the manner they would do it. If you're going to dedicate your next basketball game to Kobe Bryant, it means you're going to play like Kobe played. is not going to be because after you shoot the basket and yell Kobe, that's going to make the ball go in because you yell Kobe Bryant's name. If you're going to do it in the name of Kobe, that means before the game, you can warm up for an hour. During the game, you're going to play all out and play smart. And then after the game, you're going to put another 2 hours of practice immediately after the game. If you're going to do something in the name of Kobe Bryant. So if you're going to do something in the name of Christ, if just because you say the name Yahweh Shai, Hamashiach Yahweh Shai, Hallelujah, whatever the extent of the little Hebrew you studied that you say at the end of a prayer, just because you do that does not mean that now Christ is going to listen to you or obey you or cater to you just because you said the name Jesus at the end or Yahweh Shai at the end. But you ain't walked in none of Christ's steps. You ain't humbled yourself. You haven't, and then you have no joy to do it the way Christ did it. It's got to be by constraint. Verse 17, St. John chapter 15, verse 17. These things I command you. Wow. These things I command you that ye love one another. This is Christ talking to the disciples. The same ones that were there when he made the statement, who is my family? Those that hear the words of the Most High and do his will. But most of our definition of family is whoever listens to me. If you listen to me, you're my family. My mom listens to me. My dad listens to me. My friends at work listen to, so they're my friends. They care. But, Christ said it first. Then he goes on to say what in verse 18? If the world hate you because you are doing things the way Christ did things. You don't put them first. And yet the world hates you for it. And I know everybody's got the religious mind cap on about, yeah, the world talking about, yeah, because I say I love Jesus before I eat. Everybody looks at me and says, shut up. Haters, 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 haters. That's not what Yahweh I was talking about. The world is talking about the people that you don't put first in your life. With the same way Christ did put them first in his life. And they hated Christ for it. How dare you? You know dad is dead. And it was important. FYI. But just like to give you some information that your father died. But I don't, you don't care. Never mind. I don't know why I bothered coming over here trying to tell you this. Just trying to get you some information you didn't know. Yahweh Shai. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Well, the Wadi House, I know it now. You know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Now we have St. John chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. Get the text. All right. St. John chapter 15 and verse 20. Yahweh Shai says what? Remember the word that I said unto you. Unlike how we do today. Didn't I tell you? See, that just shows you don't listen. See, that just shows you don't care. If a person can be judged, that they don't care because they don't remember the words that came out of your mouth, then can you be held as accountable for not loving the Most High Christ, for not remembering his words? Or is this where you get to say you love too hard? Is this where you get to say, didn't I tell you? See, that just goes to prove you don't listen. That just goes to prove that my words just don't matter. Okay? So then Yahweh Shai is going to judge you, is judging you the exact same way. St. John, chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. For everything Yahweh Shai went through, you ain't got to go through it. Now you're greater than Christ. And your sacrifice and your love is greater than Christ's sacrifice and Christ's love. St. John chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Did Christ's mama come after him for making her worry? Did Christ's brothers and sisters come after him for not being there when they came calling? Was Christ persecuted? And mind you, St. John chapter 15, verse 21, verse 20, this is before the crucifixion. This is before he got crucified. So we can't say that the persecution was when he was on the cross. Not chronologically correct. St. John 15 and 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you, for my name's sake. If you're truly following Christ, you're going to be persecuted. My parents are going to look at me like I'm stupid, like I'm a fool for following this crazy cult, for following this crazy people, for following you. You did this to me. Why did I come here? Why am I doing this? I should have went ahead and did something else. Christ said, if you're following him, this is going to happen, period, if you're following him. This mentality that God and Christ
are only God and Christ if they make you make things convenient for you. That's the only time the Most High, Yahweh Shai, is when it's convenient for you. St. John chapter 15, verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. But remember what Christ said earlier, just a few sentences before? But we know in St. John 15, 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They don't know the Most High. If they knew the Most High, when you follow this order, you follow this direction, they wouldn't have nothing to say. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Cool. Said no one said anything to them? No sin. Hey, y'all doing that wrong? Then they could easily get justified and excuse themselves. You know, like that odious woman in Proverbs where it says, the odious woman wiping her mouth says, I ain't did no wrong. Wasn't my fault. Not me. But Christ is saying what? If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Nowhere to run to. Nowhere to hide. Verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. How many Israelites got mad at Moses for Moses telling them what the Most High said? How many Israelites get mad today because somebody's telling them what the Most High said? Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, you can't come off as high of a horse as Yahweh Shai did to even come into human form. No one could match that level of humility but the Most High. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Because Christ came and put the Father first, he was hated. Because in spite of his own feelings, in spite of his own emotions, in spite of his own addictions, he put the Most High first. That's why he was hated. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. verse 26. This, but when the Comforter, okay, everybody, I need some comfort. Okay, this is the comfort Christ said he sent me. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, not from your own opinion, not proceeding from your mind or your emotions or what you're going through. The Comforter that's coming from the Father, the Spirit of truth, is coming from the Father, not you and your emotions and your feelings. The Comforter shall testify of Christ, not what you went through, what your mama went through. Not what you went through and how your friends did things back in the day, and now you're trying to bring that to, The Comforter is going to testify about Christ to remind you Christ went through the same thing. That's what's to give you comfort. Not the fact that you got catered to. Verse 27. And ye shall also bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. So, as we go over today and come to a conclusion of today's Thursday thoughts, as we're coming to the last days, and we're coming to the days of our salvation, and knowing that we, through much tribulation, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, that it is about our righteousness in the most eyes of the Most High. We got to get it together. We got to work on it. Okay, so with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. Today is the magic Thursday. Thoughtful Thursday. You know, it's Magic Monday. Today is Thoughtful Thursday. There is a YouTube class tonight on the YouTube channel, ISBHPK Norfolk Live. That's ISBHPK Norfolk Live. All right, that begins broadcasting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're in Texas, that would be 6 p.m. If you're in New Mexico, that would be 5 p.m. And then going all the way back to Cali. Going back to Cali. That would be starting at 4 p.m. We ask everybody, please, just log on, if it's for a minute, and hit the like button. We're trying to get the algorithm more in our favor. As we get over 1,000 subscribers and then reach the 5,000 subscriber mark, that they'll start putting our videos up in the public display, on everybody's public display, that this is something you want to watch. You know, in every video you watch on YouTube, you'll see the announcer say, this is what we have next, but this is what YouTube thinks you should watch next. They know how to program the algorithm works. So we want to get to that same thing where YouTube will put us up. Sometimes you see where you might watch one of our videos and somebody who totally contradicts you to what we have going on will come up next in the queue or the list of videos on the side playing next to the video that you have going on if you're on your laptop. Those videos get in that queue because of the algorithm. Well, we want to get our algorithm in the right schematics of things. So now our videos will be there. Check this out next. If you enjoyed this show, the YouTube's pick for you is then you probably like this show here. But we can't do that unless we get a lot more likes and shares on our YouTube pages. So with that, again, Brother Kazaki, we hold a down class tonight on ISBHPK Norfolk Live. If you're not in the Norfolk area, we do ask you to go ahead and log on to YouTube. Again, hit the like and share button. With that, you'll be able to catch another Blog Talk show. It'll be this coming Tuesday. Again, Todd's Pod Tuesdays. Todd's Pod will be on the reins now this coming Tuesday. All right. I'm here with the brother Ahmad. That whenever Ahmad, remember, whenever you want to throw a show on, got you, bro. Just like with Todd's Pod. You want to do a show, get a little bit of practice in on the public forum, it's all good. It is all good. All right, with that, any questions, comments, hit me up, 210-784-8463. Remember, Passover is in less than 6 weeks away. All right, Passover is less than 6 weeks away. Get ready. My name is Mashava. Thank y'all for listening. And with that, we're going to say shalom.